This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه تعالى من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أناب الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينًا عميًا وآذانًا سمًا وقلوبًا غلفًا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جازيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. All praises due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead. And He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His slave and His messenger. Alhamdulillah, last week we were discussing the necessity for us to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the fact that so many Muslims in these days, and especially as we see that some of the tides of Islamophobia are churning against Muslims, that in these days we become more shaken, we become more afraid, we become more taken aback by these events, that this is a sign of our disconnection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mentioned particularly how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people of the trenches, Ashab al-Ukhdud, who He mentions in Surah al-Buruj in the Qur'an, that these people were faced with the prospect of being thrown into ditches filled with fire for no reason other than that they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A form of Islamophobia that we have not seen in our lives. That these trenches were built and dug to throw the man and the woman and even the babies into them and to burn them alive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا نَقَمُ مِنْهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَمِيدِ. That there was nothing that they held against them except that they believed in Allah al-Aziz al-Hamid. And we said how their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the thing that allowed them not to compromise their beliefs, not to compromise their values, because they believed in Allah al-Aziz al-Hamid. And they were willing to throw themselves into the pits of fire because they understood what it meant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Aziz al-Hamid. And today I want to continue on that line of thought and continue through that discussion for us to realize and recognize the fact that it is only our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that will save us and protect us. Recently I found myself at an interfaith event. And the discussion of this event was religion and world progress. And the idea or the discussion was, does progress of human beings occur, and of this world and of the civilizations in this world, occur because of religion or in spite of religion? And of course there's a lot of points that I brought up when I was discussing this issue. But one of the important points that I brought up to them and I want to bring up here today for us to think and to imagine, the thing that I had to confront them with, was I reminded them that no historian to this day has been able to account or understand the reality or the fact that the Arabs were a bunch of sheep herders in the middle of a desert who had no civilization, most of whom could not read or write. And in the matter of years, and by years we mean only a few decades, they conquered two of the greatest of the civilizations and of the empires at that time. And from them sprung a civilization that none has seen an equal to. in the history of this world. And I confronted them with this idea, and something that probably they didn't have any knowledge of. Because one of the points that we have to understand is, how do civilizations grow and sprout? And if we were to look at right now, this moment, and we look at the civilizations that have more progress technologically, scientifically, militarily, economically, though those nations that have more progress are the ones that have values that they've stuck to. Values in relation to equity and justice. Yes, this country has more equity and justice than most of the Muslim countries. Most of the Muslim countries, if the average person wants to get a driver's license, how many bribes does he have to pay in order to get that driver's license? Something that is afforded to him. So the corruption that spreads between the people lost their value of justice, that destroyed those countries. And the countries that held on to a notion of justice were able to progress. And this is the reality. The values that you have are the values that allow the society and the civilization to progress. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this in the Quran. He says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if the people of the towns, if the people of the cities, if they only believed and had taqwa, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ, we would have opened for them, conquered for them, blessings from the heavens would have come down upon them. And so it's the values that you hold in your heart, your iman and your taqwa. When you believe it, and you act upon it, and you work upon it, this is what allows the civilization to spread. This is what allows the conquest to occur. This is what allows a bunch of people in the desert who are herding sheep to all of a sudden become the leaders on the earth, because of the values that they actually held and they instituted between them. The values of justice, and the values of mercy, and the values of fairness, and the values of patience. These types of values are the things that build nations. And so today I want to focus on the name of Allah. And we're discussing all of the issues through the prism of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being Al-Fattah. Being the one who opens, the one who conquers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this name of His throughout the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the dua of Prophet Nuh, رَبَّنَا افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ. That He says, oh our Lord, افْتَحْ. Make a conquest, make an opening between us and between the people in truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says as well, قُلْ يَجْمَعُ بَيْنَنَا رَبُّنَا ثُمَّ يَفْتَحُ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ. That indeed, that say, O Muhammad, to the people, that indeed our Lord will bring us together, and then He will يَفْتَحُ. He will open for us with the truth. What does it mean that Allah is al-Fattah? What does it mean that God conquers, that Allah opens or conquers things for us? And how can we live with this name and recognize this name throughout our lives? Al-Fattah, al-Fatih, huwa izalatu kulli shaykhin maghlub. That Allah is al-Fatih, the opening is the removal of everything that is closed. You can't say that someone opened something unless the thing was closed beforehand. So Allah is al-Fattah because Allah is the one who opens the things that people believed to be impossibly closed. And so those of us who are looking right now at what is happening in the world, in so many different countries, how the tide of Islamophobia is rising, and some of us are thinking to ourselves, who is it that can solve this problem? Who is it that can open this problem, solve the problem, conquer the problem that we feel is impossibly closed, that we feel is completely turned against us, that we feel like we don't have any power to change this problem and to open this problem? You need to turn to Al-Fattah, the one who opens the problems that everyone believes is impossibly closed. The one who, when we say there is no use, there is no way, there is nothing that we can do to change the situation, Al-Fattah is the one who opens it and the one who conquers it. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens to the people from His mercy, then there is no one that can withhold it. And whatever Allah withholds, then there is no one that can send it. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens His doors of mercy for you, there is no one in humanity, no matter what election they win, no matter what army they possess, no matter what wealth that they are spending, if Allah opens His mercy for us, there is no one that can withhold it after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah withholds His mercy from us, there is no one who can give it to us other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to all of you who have problems, not just the problems of Islamophobia, but if you have problems in your family, if there are those who have problems, the wife a problem with her husband, or a husband a problem with his wife, those of us who are parents and have problems with our children, those of us who find ourselves in these difficult problems in our lives, and we feel like the door is closed, and we feel like there's no one who can open this door. You feel like your children are never going to listen to you, that they're never going to return to you, that they're never going to heed your advice. Those of you who are ill and are sick, and have a problem, and you feel like there is no one who can answer this problem, there is no doctor who can cure this illness. Those of us who look at the problems of Muslims in our countries, and in all of the countries in this world seemingly, and we say, who is it that is there, that can help, that can provide, that can support the Muslims in Palestine, the Muslims in Burma, the Muslims in all of the countries in the world? Who do we go to? Who do we turn to? Who do we gain our meaning from other than Al-Fattah? The one who opens the problems that we believe are impossibly closed. And we mentioned last week, but we need to think about it often. Look at the Battle of Badr, and how 300 faced over 1,000. How 2 were on horses against 100 that were on horses. And the Prophet ﷺ on that day was making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so intensely, so profusely, that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was scared over the Prophet ﷺ. He felt like the Prophet ﷺ was exhausting himself to the point that he would be destroyed from how much he was begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help on that day. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept making dua, and he kept saying, Allahumma injizni ma wa'adtani. He would say, oh Allah, give me that which you have promised me. Grant me that which you have promised me. And Abu Bakr was saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hawwin alayka ya Rasulullah, take it easy, O Messenger of Allah. This is Allah, He is not going to ruin you, He is not going to lead you to destruction. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept praying to Allah and pleading with Allah until finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered his call. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered upon the Muslims and he said, Allahu Akbar, abshiru fa inna hadha Jibreel. He said, Allahu Akbar. He said, have glad tidings, have happiness, for indeed this is Jibreel, who has taken the reins of his steed, and he has come with 1,000 other of the angels to provide for us on this day, and to help us on this day. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solving a problem that it seemed like no one else could possibly solve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening a door that seemed like it was impossibly closed, that they found themselves on the battlefield, in a battle that they did not want to be in, that they didn't desire to be in. All of a sudden they were there, and it seemed like that's it, they were ruined and they were destroyed. Their enemies were already victorious and happy before the battle even occurred, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solved that problem for them. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he used to say that whenever he had a problem that he was dealing with, an issue in Islam that he was trying to think what the answer for it was, he used to say, I used to go out into the middle of the desert by myself and put my head on the floor, and I used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَا أَعُودُ إِلَّا وَقَدْ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. He said, by Allah, I would never come back to my home except that Allah had already opened for me the issue. Those of you who are seeking guidance, those of you who are seeking knowledge, if you're students and you're studying and you're trying to understand something and learn something, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to the one who opens and who conquers all of the issues, even the issues we think we cannot possibly understand or we cannot possibly conquer. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a very beautiful hadith, he said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ خَيْرٌ عَسَّلَهُ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if Allah wants good for any of His servants, He sweetens him. He sweetens him. So the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, what does this mean? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sweetens his slave. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ لَهُ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ ثُمَّ يَقْبِدْ عَلَيْهِ. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens for him the ability to do good deeds and then takes his soul before he dies. He said, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sweetens the slave, that Allah opens for you the ability to worship Him. Allah opens for you the path to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of you, You fast and you pray and you still feel disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You still feel like there's a barrier between you and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You feel like no matter how many times you hear a beautiful speech about Islam, no matter how many times you read the Quran, no matter how many times you prostrate to Allah, you still feel like there's a barrier between you and between Allah. Who is the one who can open the door that no one else can open? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you turn to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you by opening the doors of doing good before you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another meaning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being al-fattah is how often did you need to make a decision in your life? And you don't know if it's the proper decision. You want to get married, you don't know if it's right for you to get married right now, or if it's right for you to marry this person. You want to take a job and you don't know if this job is the right job for you. You want to start a business, you don't know if it's the right business for you to start. Do you know if you're going to regret this decision in 5 years or 10 years? Do you know that in the end of your life, if you're going to look back and say, this was the best decision of my life, or the worst decision of my life? Who do you turn to in order to gain guidance and understanding in order for you to know what to do in your life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. He is the one who has مَفَاتِح, the keys, the openings of that which is the unseen. Nobody knows it other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're struck with these decisions that make you understand the weakness that you have as a human being, you need to turn to the one who does not have the weakness. The one who conquers all of the things, the one who is al-fattah. And so al-fattah, it literally means the opening. And it literally means the victory. And it can also mean the judgment. The opening between two who are arguing. The making clear and deciding between two who are arguing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the dua of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, رَبَّنَ افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ. That, O our Lord, open for us, decide for us, between us and between our people in truth. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْفَاتِحِينَ. And you are the best of those who decide. When you are being oppressed, when your rights are being taken away, when people are accusing you of something that is not true, when they accuse you of being a thief, or they accuse you of being a terrorist, or they accuse you and everyone is against you, and there is nothing to prove to you that you are upon the truth, who do you turn to? Who is the one who will decide between you and between the people? Prophet Nuh alayhi salam spent 950 years calling the people and preaching the people the truth. And the people called him a liar, and they called him a criminal, and they called him a crazy person. And he goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says, رَبَّنَ افْتَحْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ قَوْمِنَا بِالْحَقِّ. He says, Oh Allah, open between us and between the people in truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided for him and for his people in truth in a way that no one could deny. That no one could deny. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him up through the tides of the ocean, and he left those who were accusing him and denouncing him to be the ones who fell to the bottom of the floor. And look at Aisha alayha radiallahu anha, that after she was accused with the evil sin, and all of the people were spreading the sin, spreading the lie that she committed the sin, all of them spreading this lie over and over, and she was, all of the people are against her, and she didn't know what to do, to the point that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to her, and he sat with her and with her father Abu Bakr, the Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he said to her, he said, Ya Aisha, if you committed this sin, then admit it, and we'll pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your forgiveness. And so she turned to her father and she said to her father, are you not going to respond to the Messenger of Allah? Meaning the Prophet just said that there's a possibility I committed this sin. Aren't you going to defend me? Aren't you going to defend my honor? She asked her father, aren't you going to respond? And her father said to her, La adri ma aqul. He said to her, I don't know what to say. Even her father had some hesitancy. He didn't know what actually occurred. And the Prophet didn't know what actually occurred. She literally felt like every single person, even her husband and her father, were against her, were not completely on her side. And she became extremely angry and upset. And she said, وَاللَّهِ لَا أَدْرِي مَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ. She said, إِن قُلْتُ لَكُمْ أَنِّي بَرِيئَةٌ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأَمْرِ لَن تُصَدِّقُونِي. She said, I don't know what to tell either of you. She said, if I tell you that I am innocent, I know you're not going to believe me. And she said, وَإِذَا اعْتَرَفْتَ عَلَى نَفْسِي بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ أَفْعَلُهُ تصدقتموني. She said to him, she said to them, and if I were to admit for something that I did not commit, then I know that you are going to believe me. And so she said to them, قالت والله لا أجد ما أقول إلا ما قال أبو يوسف. She said, I don't know what to tell you except to say what the father of Yusuf said. She said, from the intensity of her anger on that moment, she was so angry that there was no one left to defend her in this world against these accusations. She said she was so angry she could not remember the name of Prophet Ya'qub. So she said, Abu Yusuf, that's all that she could remember. And then she said, then the words of Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. That patience is beautiful and Allah is our source of strength against what you are describing. And she turned away. There was no one to help her except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She recognized that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our source of strength even in these difficult circumstances. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal 20 verses in the Quran showing and revealing her innocence, her complete innocence in that situation. And this is when the person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when all of the people are against you. And look at Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, when he enters into the prison, again being accused of an evil sin that he had nothing to do with, that he was running away from, but they accused him of being the one doing it. And he stayed in prison, and he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he said to Allah, it is more beloved to me to enter the prison than for me to fall into any sin. And he turned to Allah, and he begged Allah, and he asked Allah, and in the end, the woman herself stood in front of the people and said, "Al-an hasas al-haq," that now the truth has emerged. Now the truth has come out that I am the one who seduced him, and he is the one who is innocent from what we accused him of. Ask yourself, how often have you been in a situation in your life and there is no answer? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings you out of it without you even asking. You're in a difficult situation and you don't know at all what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't know what to do in that situation, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought you out of that situation. And you didn't even ask Allah to help you. You didn't even ask Allah to defend you. Out of nowhere someone came and someone protected you and someone stood up for you. Now imagine if you turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine if you asked Him. And imagine if you begged Him. And imagine if you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support you and to provide you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would do for you. And one of the things we have to also recognize and realize is that sometimes it feels like all of the doors in our lives have closed. All of the doors have closed. And we think we are ruined and destroyed, and wallahi, that situation is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bringing you a victory. Allah bringing you a victory like no other victory. And look at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw a dream that they were going to perform, their umrah. They were going to enter into Mecca and perform the umrah. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the companions and they left. And they went to try to enter Mecca without any weapons, standing in front of their enemies. And what did their enemies do? Their enemies rejected them from entering Mecca. The Arabs of Quraysh had never rejected anyone from coming into Mecca and worshipping in the Masjid al-Haram. But all of a sudden they decided to prevent the Muslims from entering. And the Prophet kept negotiating and they kept trying to enter. And Quraysh kept rejecting. Until finally the Prophet ﷺ received the orders from Allah to leave. So they got up to leave. And the companions were incredibly upset. And amongst them was Umar ibn Khattab, who was incredibly upset. Because they said, we're the ones upon the truth. If we leave, then the truth is losing to the falsehood. And they turned to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were so upset that they're getting up and leaving. And they said, didn't you see a dream that you're performing the Umrah? And he said, yes. And they said, didn't you see a dream that you're performing Tawaf? He said, yes. He said, then you know that this is truth, because the dreams of the Prophet are truth. Why are we leaving? And the Prophet said, we have to leave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, at a moment the Muslims thought that they lost terribly. They wanted something, they got nothing out of it. They had to walk back, and what they felt was humiliation on that day. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. Indeed, we have conquered for you, we have opened for you, we have given you a tremendous victory on that day. Because the peace that they decided, the treaty of Hudaybiyah that they decided, the Muslims would not go for Umrah, but they would have a peace treaty. That treaty of peace was the greatest of the accomplishments of the Muslims. Because so many people were then able to hear about Islam and learn about Islam because there was a peace treaty. And they were able to enter and accept Islam because of this peace treaty. And so the thing that they thought was a defeat, And the thing that they thought was a humiliation turned out to be the conquest in the victory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about in the Quran. إِنَّ فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. So when you see the moments of hardship around you, and the moments of difficulty around you, and you see and it feels like all of the doors are being locked for us, then realize that this might be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening the doors for you. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best example, because the man was in Mecca. Look at how he was being abused to the point that he would be performing the sujood, and they came and they brought the carcass of a dead animal and threw it upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was in sujood. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't even get up from his sajda because of this rotten carcass on him. And they were laughing and they were mocking him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until his daughter came and lifted it from on him. And that Prophet, in a matter of years, becomes the one who enters Mecca as a conqueror. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to him, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. That when the victory of Allah and the fatah, the opening, comes to you. وَرَأَيْتِ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. You see the people coming into Islam in droves, in masses, in waves, they're coming into Islam. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Some of the last points for us to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as being al-fattah is first to ask Allah, to turn to Allah, and to show humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to pray to Him that He is al-fattah. And secondly, not to lose hope no matter the hardships that we are in. And third, be an opening of good for the people. And the one who closes the doors of evil in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the good for you. I want to brief you all about one matter. Recently, the Peel's District School Board, they instituted a new policy procedure that when it came in, it was going to prevent the high school children in the public school system from doing their Jum'ah khutbah. Then they changed it and they said they can do the Jum'ah khutbah, but they will be given six different khutbahs and they have to choose from those six different khutbahs throughout the year. So we went a couple of weeks ago, I know some of the people who pray Aisha here, we went all together, and we stood there and we spoke about this issue, and alhamdulillah they decided to pause that policy. And the policy also prevented Muslims from praying in any type of congregation, so even to talk to the Dhuhr, any type of prayer in congregation, they had to pray individually, not in congregation. So alhamdulillah we put some pressure on them and they were able to pause this issue. And we're planning to go inshallah this Tuesday, there's another meeting in the Peel District School Board is right 2 minutes from here. And so we're asking if people can come. And inshallah, more students are going to be speaking and more. We're bringing lawyers as well to speak and to advocate on our behalf. But I want us to understand that these types of issues are popping up all around the country. And in the York District School Board in York, there's another problem happening over there with Islamophobia and racism, and and the school board itself is resisting any attempt of trying to deal with those issues completely. So these are problems that are systemic. Systematic problems that are popping up everywhere. And I spoke to people in the school board and they're saying that this is a problem that's been happening for a while. That there's this distrust of Muslims and distrust of Islam. And so we have to, first of all, we have to stand up together and realize what these problems are. And to be able to advocate on our own behalves. Nobody is going to open a door for you. And Allah will not open any doors for us unless we are the ones crying and asking Allah and struggling for that sake. Secondly, we have to realize that, you know, these school boards, it's going to be a long time before we have any meaningful headways through them. And this is why it's extremely important for us to build our Islamic schools. And I'll keep saying it over and over, we have to build the Islamic schools. And that's why I'm inviting all of you to come to that dinner that we're having with Dennis Edney, who will be here, and he'll be speaking about the experiences of him defending Omar Khadr. And there are a lot of benefits to take from his speech. And I'm inviting every single one of you and I'm asking you all to buy tickets. And there are tickets available in the office. This is a very important fundraising dinner because first of all, you're supporting an Islamic school. And secondly, we have to understand how to build our institutions to defend and to help the children who are in Islamic schools and also help the children that are not in Islamic schools. We have to build our institutions in order to do so. So I'm inviting all of you to attend that event, bi-idhnillah. In Allahumma malaikatu yusalluna ala nabi.